Take a china plate in your hands. Smash it on the ground. Gather up all the pieces, even the tiny ones that you can barely see, and put them on the table. Now tell it you're sorry. Really mean it. Did it make a difference? Today we're going to talk about breaking and healing. Of course, we're also going to talk about burritos, wolves, and the Japanese art of kintsugi. But it wouldn't be one of my sermons if it didn't get a little strange. There's been a lot of conversation over the last 10 years about where Unitarian Universalist falls on the religious spectrum. You hear everything. We're Christian, we're not Christian, we're Protestant, we're post-Protestant, we're post-religious, we're post-modern, we're post-post, we're a religion, we're not a religion, we're a movement about religion. We're a lot of things. What we're not is good at talking about what to do when we've screwed up. What do we do when we've offended against our own personal values? Because that's what sin is when it comes right down to it. You've violated something that you said and meant that you held dear, and you did it anyway, for whatever reason. You made a mistake. Christianity has dogma that says that there is original sin. That because the first people made an error, all humans inherit that error and are born needing to be cleaned or saved. But they have an answer to that too. Jesus, the Messiah who washes away the sin we're born with and those we add later. This is a form of substitutionary atonement, where somebody else pays for the mistakes you've made, the sins you've made, the errors. In that case, a loving God gives humanity the only sacrifice big enough to equal all the sin that will ever be. For some of us, this makes sense theologically, and we follow it. For others, the crucifixion, suffering, and death of Jesus are just the end result of a radical young rabbi in the time and system in which he lived. His life and death have great meaning, but don't let us erase the weight of wrongs that we do. And even in mainstream Christianity, there are rituals around this forgiveness, this atonement. The most basic is the Lord's Prayer from the book of Matthew. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Two parts to that, not one. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So you don't just ask, you also offer. The forgiveness is there, but like our broken plate, just saying the words isn't the point. You have to believe. Judaism is the platter that Christianity rests on, that it grew out of. And it too recognizes atonement. And the last time I was in the pulpit, I talked about Rosh Hashanah, the new year. The time when it was all done, you're ready to go, school has ended, and you're taking that breath. Well, today is the day the grades come in. Yom Kippur is 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, and it's the day when you say, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for anything that didn't work out the way it should have. It's then when you atone for what you've done wrong and accept the atonement of others. And this isn't just saying, well, I kicked you, oops. It's recognizing that you made a vow to a value that you believe, the value that says don't randomly kick people. You made a vow between yourself and something greater, whether that's a spirit of life, a spirit of the world, a spirit of humanity. It's whatever you feel creates those things that are right and wrong. And you said, I believe in this one. And then you went and kicked somebody anyway. This is the day when you stop and say, I recognize. I'm not excusing. I'm not justifying. Here's what I said. Here's what I did. I'm sorry. This atonement is something we need. Something you can use, no matter if you believe in God Almighty, divine humanity, a mother goddess, or absolutely nothing. It gives us a way to deal with those times we have broken our covenant with ourselves. It gives us a way to deal with the offenses we make against our beliefs and the way we see the divine, without violating individual worth and dignity. And it's funny, as I was writing this sermon and thinking about sin and forgiveness, I remembered when Chipotle, Mexican Grill, first opened near me about 14 years ago. And here come the burritos. For those of you who aren't familiar with the chain, Chipotle specializes in huge burritos. And when I say huge, I mean, like, wrap it up in a blanket and people will think you have a newborn. Large. Prior to this, we'd only seen Taco Bell in Ohio. They were the first burritos this size with all kinds of stuff that anybody had ever seen. And I worked with a bunch of big athletic people. And it became a thing for some of them to eat a whole burrito with double meat plus chips and salsa at one sitting. We're talking about close to 3 pounds of food. So this slender marathon runner from my office would run his noontime laps around the parking lot, then run up to Chipotle and dash back and eat with us. And it was like watching the wolves in a National Geographic special. Pounds of meat were just disappearing down the throat. And when this healthy man would get up, you could see his belly pushing against his waistband. He was literally bulging with food, weighted down with everything he had taken in. And he couldn't run after lunch. For 2 or 3 or 4 hours, he was pregnant with that food. You watch him wander slowly down the hall. And then he would digest. And he'd be okay again. Food digests quickly. When you stuff yourself, when you weigh yourself down, in a few hours, you feel pretty okay again. But when your life gets too full, too weighted down, you don't digest quite that easily. The burritos we all eat every day are full of jobs and families and friends and co-workers and appointments, hair care and nail care, trips to the spa, trips to the gym, get the kids somewhere, get the grandkids somewhere, read that new book you're supposed to read because it's important. They're sauced up with social media and spiced up with news blasts. Laugh at this, cry at this, here's a cat video. Listen to who ISIS beheaded. The Middle East, the Near East, the Far East. Go to Europe, travel to USA. Crime and punishment and politics and sex and relationship. And every day, all day, it's going in and it's going in and it's going in. And we do our best, but the world is hectic, and sometimes we take bite after bite after bite of life until we're the ones who feel like wolves at a kill. We're staggering away with our bellies dragging the ground, too weighted down to move anymore, as we've had to make decision after decision after decision and act and act and act. And sometimes we got it wrong, because the bites just kept coming. There's an old kid's story that some of you may know about a monkey that sees a jar filled with nuts. And he jams his hand into the jar and he grabs a fistful, as many as he can hold. But now his hand won't fit back out. And he's unwilling to let go, so the poor monkey sits and cries. Because he's got it all, and he can't enjoy even one bite. Relaxing our fists, letting go of some of our burrito, letting go of our treasures, putting down the nuts. It isn't easy, but it's the only way to enjoy any of them. Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah are not about the dates. I don't care when you celebrate these. They're not parties. Pick a date that works for you. January 1st is fine for a new year. Or pick Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't matter. Pick another date altogether. But pick a date that every year you're going to say, my year has ended. I'm going to take a breath. Reclaim your power to let it go. Recognize you can't get your hand out. Take a week, take 10 days, examine the previous year. Pick up the shreds and the shards of all the plates you've smashed. Examine them. Walk away from your wolf's kill. Walk away from the burrito. And when you're ready, there's Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The day when you empty yourself of all that you've been carrying, all the slights, all the screw-ups, all the minutes when you didn't live up to who you thought you were and who you want to be. This is the day when you say, I'm sorry, and forgive me, and I forgive you. Our special music today was a prayer called the Kol Nidre, which means all vows. It's a prayer asking the divine to release us from all the sacred vows we made this past year and let us start fresh. Now, these are not promises we made to people. This is not forgiving your vow to go to the gym and you paid your membership. This isn't that. This is saying, I said in my heart, here's what I believe. Here's who I am. I vow this to myself. Or I vow this to my God. Or I vow this to you. Here's who I am. How many times a year do you say that? Here's the beliefs I stand for. And how many times do you not quite get it? The Kol Nidre says, I understand that that's going to happen because I am human. The rough translation is, in the court of heaven and the court of earth, so being judged by everything going, by the permission of God, blessed be He, and by the permission of this holy congregation, so with the permission of everything around, we hold it lawful to pray with those who have erred. So we recognize that people who haven't gotten it right can talk to God and can talk to each other, and it is okay. All vows and obligations, oaths, and things we swore, things we said we would never do that were forbidden by any name, which we swore or vowed or pledged or are bound from this Day of Atonement until the next, we repent. May they be deemed absolved, forgiven, annulled, and void, made no effect. May they not bind us or have power over us. They're not to be reckoned vows. The obligations are not obligatory. The oaths are not oaths. And it shall be forgiven all the children of Israel and all the strangers that travel with them. So this prayer is for everyone, anywhere. Anything that I swore that I was and I didn't quite make it, wipe it away, make it as if I had never said that. Recognize that I'm reclaiming the fact that, okay, I'm human. It means we are saying aloud, I promised stuff this year and I didn't always live up to it. I recognize it and I should be forgiven. And I'm going to start over. Forgiven. Doesn't matter what belief system you're working with. For someone who's a Christian, this is the time of year to contemplate just where did you fall short on your personal beliefs? To be recognized that you are granted forgiveness through grace and to begin again. For a Buddhist, it's time for mindful contemplation of unskillful or unwholesome acts in the past year and a place to begin seeking new wisdom. For a Wiccan, it recognizes the turning of the year and the time to start the dance again. And for a humanist, it's time for thoughtful assessment of how you are living up to your stated values. The specifics don't matter in the slightest. What does matter is forgiving and being forgiven. For those moments when things didn't happen the way they should have. And this is where the problems often start, where I clench my fists and I hold on to those things I grabbed because I don't deserve forgiveness or I don't think I get to say that I'm forgiven. Or worse yet, because they don't deserve forgiveness. They just don't and I'm not letting go of it. You know what? It doesn't work that way. I can punish myself, but I can't control how the people I've hurt feel. The best I can do if I am truly sorry and I recognize that I broke my vow to myself and my world and I resolve to do better to the best of my ability, then I am forgiven because that is all I can do. I am human. And I can try to punish others for what they've done to me where they have fallen short. I can hold hatred and anger, and then what? I am hate-filled and angry, and they are still wandering around being whoever they are. Forgiveness of others isn't about whether or not they deserve it. It's about getting their hold off of my life. It's about letting go of that nut so that I can get my hand out of the jar and enjoy the rest. So I pick up the plate I've broken, I collect every shard, and I say I'm sorry. That's Rosh Hashanah. But then I go a step further. In Japan, there's an art form called kintsugi, the art of repairing with gold. I take that plate and I use pure gold to form the seams where it is broken. I don't hide the damage. I heal the cracks using something more precious than the original materials. And when I'm done, it's a priceless work of art. That is atonement. That is Yom Kippur.